Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Therese Eccles.
Hey.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And, of course, this show, along with everything we do, brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com, of which John and I are owners. And if you like our content, if you don't want to see Teresa homeless, she's one of our agents, then please show your support. Book your next Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney Vacation through Dreams Unlimited Travel. We also deal with Royal Caribbean and Carnival and all the other cruise lines as well. It's not just Disney. But please, DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. We genuinely, especially this year, appreciate your support. You guys have really, you saved us. You saved us. And I am forever grateful for that. I also just want to give a shout out to Magic Candle Company. That's another sponsor of the Diz, magiccandlecompany.com. Code Disney Info will save you 15% at checkout. I've decorated my house for Christmas. I almost thought I was not going to this year. I know, right?
Wow.
That would, like, because it's never happened. I don't know. I was in a mood, as I'm wont to be. And I dug out some from last year, the Christmas shop candle, right? And my family room is rather large. It's 800 square feet. And I just, as I was decorating, I burned this candle. It fills the entire house, and it's, like, not overwhelming. And I kept, like, for, I think, about a week, I kept lighting the candle and letting it burn for, like, hours. And it was like the candle that never stopped. It didn't matter how many times I burned it. And I just reminded of why I love that company. And although he would send me these candles for free if I asked him, I pay the same thing you do. Because I'm not going to push anything if I'm not willing to put my money where my mouth is. And I have cupboards full of Magic Candle Company candles, wax melts, oils, burners like Tiki Tutis right behind
me. I've got the little... the little spray.
The room spray.
The Christmas shop, and I sprayed it in my car, and it conflicted with my Bob Ross air freshener that I had in there.
Oh, so there was a chemical meltdown.
Huh?
The guy who does the painting?
Uh-huh. He hangs on my...
didn't think he conflicted with anybody. He's so mellow.
Well, it was... Grace got in the car, and she said, it's like Christmas, but canvas.
You can tell Pete's been Christmas decorating.
He's full of glitter.
He is all glitter around his eye.
Or do just, I have glitter on me?
Or he just wanted to be pretty.
I just thought it was makeup.
I did too.
Well, I mean,
it's not terrible.
It's not out of the question.
Here's the deal. Once you start playing with stuff with glitter,
years.
It's there forever.
It's everywhere. Well, I was running lights on one of my wreaths earlier. Because, you know, the pre-built, you know, when they had the lights pre-built, they last a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then I just, you know, went on Amazon and ordered a bunch of battery-operated lights and was doing that. So that's probably why I...
Is your family room 800 square feet?
It is 800 square feet. It's 40 feet long by 20 feet wide.
My whole house is 1,064. I live in your living room.
Yeah, well...
That's so sad.
We bought a beach house that's 500 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That will haunt my dreams. But, all right, so something I want to talk about this week. We want to talk about that earnings call last week. Not the fact that the park showed profitability, which is, I guess, good news. It was a comment made by Disney CFO. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. What's her name again? Was it Kathleen McCarthy or
Christine McCarthy?
Christine McCarthy.
Yeah.
That upset a lot of people. It upset a lot of people. She was being asked about how the parks are how Disney's going to manage inflation specifically at the parks. And one of the things she said, kind of as an aside, was that one of the options they're looking at is cutting the portion sizes of what they serve and how that would be good for people's waistlines. And that was interpreted by many, understandably so, as kind of fat shaming. And at first I thought she was saying it as a joke, but I went back and listened, when I went back and listened to the recording, it didn't really come across that way. Maybe, and I'm willing to give this woman the benefit of the doubt that she didn't mean anything by it. And while I have an issue with it to a degree, it's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is that that comment and the reaction to that comment has been picked up by most major news organizations. The New York Times, San Francisco Chronicle, the Los Angeles Times, NBC News, all pick that up, the reaction to that. And there has been no statement from her office apologizing, saying, I didn't mean it that way. I apologize if that's how it came across. No attempt to walk it back at all. And lost in this, to a degree, is the fact that they're talking about cutting portion sizes to hedge against inflation, which means they will charge more and give less, which is now the official motto of Walt Disney World. Pay more, get less. That's their tagline. But that's a big issue, right? That's worth talking about. But the deeper issue for me, and I've been seeing it with virtually every announcement, with virtually everything they do, the reason there is no apology for that comment is because Disney doesn't just not care about their fans. They hold us in disdain. They hold us in disdain. I've mentioned multiple times that there have been occasions where I've been places and having conversations with people that work for Disney. And when the word Disney fans is mentioned, there's an eye roll. They did a very good job for a long time keeping that behind closed doors. But I'm afraid, and I have to be honest, I have to lay this at Josh D'Amaro's feet as chairman of Parks and Resorts. It has now been codified as policy. Screw the fans. Screw the fans. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And while I think we should be measured in how we respond to certain things that they do, I think it's okay for us now to openly talk about the fact that as Disney fans, the people who are the biggest influencers online, in social media, and I'm not talking about me, I'm not talking about people with platforms like this, and I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the folks that have, you know, 400 followers on Facebook that are their friends and their family. When those people want to travel to Disney World, we all know this. We all know this. When those people want to travel to Disney World, they go to you. What do you you know, what should I do? You know, you're Mr. Disney, you're Miss Disney. What should we do? I don't think Disney understands that. I don't think Disney understands that more and more the answer to that question when your friends and your family come to you are go to Universal. Go somewhere else. The reason they have crowd problems, the reason they have crowd problems is because of the extraordinary influence Disney fans have on their circle of influence, on their circle of friends. And, you know, in real estate, they tell you when you're starting out as an agent, the best places to go to get business is your circle of influence, your friends and family, and extended friends and family. It kind of works that way here. You guys influence so much. So much. Maybe somebody like me gets the ball rolling on certain things. Those of us that, you know, are called the influencers, with a word that drives me insane. But these are the people they're pissing off. And on the off chance anyone in a position of authority at Disney is listening to this, be a student of history. Be a student of history of what's happened to companies and governments that are out of touch with what's going on the front lines with their biggest supporters, with their citizens, their fans. There is no story where that ends well. But the arrogance now has been taken to a level. The arrogance was always there. COVID gave them cover. COVID gave them cover to do everything they have been chomping at the bit to do. Of course, this has been delivery week here at Pete's house. Is that a delivery?
No, it's your neighbor.
Would you go out?
You want me to go check?
Would you go please check? No.
She wants to mow the lawn.
She does.
That's a rhino. Oh, never mind. She's going that way. Good. I was like, no, you're good.
Smile.
You're
good.
She wants to mow the lawn. I think it might be Kristen. I think she might be the CFO.
Oh, so
she got here that fast.
Come to visit you and have a discussion. I want to jump in. I agree with everything you're saying. Absolutely. I think the other problem we have is the reason why there's no apology is because there's no consequence. Right?
Right.
I can say this and people can be mad. So what? People are still going to go to Disney. They're still eating the food. They're still ordering everything. You could be mad all you want. There seems to be no consequence when it comes to whatever Disney does. And it's mind boggling because there are people who are mad at Genie Plus and the things that are around that. And they're mad at pricing going up and they're mad at tickets going up.
And no more Magical Express.
Right. And all of these things, but nobody seems to. I don't know, maybe individually people are doing it, but in mass, nobody seems to be taking action that has proven consequences to Disney.
Right, and I agree. I agree. But what I think is potentially different, is that this has been building and building and building over the last couple of years. This isn't Yeah, you're good, Teresa. What was her problem?
There's somebody out there. Are the package by the door?
Oh, okay. That's what I thought it was delivery. Yeah. But what in the past, they make an announcement, ticket prices, whatever. People get upset, and then it dies down. It dies down.
Absolutely right.
And then maybe there's another year goes by. And then there's something else. Well, that hasn't been the case this year. It's been one thing after another, and it really did start with Magical Express. It really started with that last October with that Magical Express announcement that they were cutting it off starting in beginning of next year. That began, and then it was just one thing after another. It was one thing after another. And like I said, they have COVID cover is what I call it. They have COVID cover. The influencers that you rely on, Disney, and again, I'm talking about the wider fan audience. They're turning on you. They're turning on you. And that is eventually, maybe not next month, maybe not even next year, but that is eventually going to hit you where it hurts. And I'll be honest, I'm much more attracted to Universal right now. The way they reopen their parks, the lack of hoops that you need to jump through to get into their parks. The quality of their hotels has always been top-notch. Top-notch. On its worst day, Lowe's runs a better hotel than Disney ever will. On its worst day, Lowe's hotels are the ones that run the hotels over at Universal. Not that there aren't problems, not that there aren't issues, not saying that. Nothing's perfect in this world. But they have been wanting, Universal has been wanting an inroad to this audience in a significant way. And let's think about the timing for a second. Epic Universe, a new theme park, is being built. It is my intuition that that is where this is going to tip. When people say we've got three theme parks, we've got these really nice hotels, there's not all this BS going on, and they don't treat us like we're bugs, and it doesn't feel like I'm being nickeled and dimed every 5 minutes.
I mean, the Universal is always doing something for annual pass holders. There's been the lounges for years now, and then every single month there's a new theme button, and it's made by people who know. It's not just a generic, like, here's our character on a button. It's like, this month's button is a skeleton hand holding a coffee, because it's referencing the end of The Mummy, where Brendan Fraser's screaming about the interview would have gone better if he'd gotten his cup of coffee. And that, and I'm like, but that's what the fans like. That's what the annual pass holders like. Disney keeps squeezing, they're going to give people burnout. And then they're just not that. Well, and then it's like what you said, it becomes, you know, generational burnout.
From the perspective of Dreams Unlimited, we're seeing it. Our sales at Universal, I call that my happy report. I run them, I'm like, holy crap. Yeah. And when I talk about this, I'm comparing our sales, and I'm not going to give numbers, but because John would have a stroke. But I'm comparing our sales this year to our sales in 2019. Okay. I don't, like, as far as 2020 is concerned, it didn't happen. When I'm looking to compare where we are now, I am looking at 2019. And when I see sales of a product 4-5 times higher than it was prior to the pandemic, and there is no new theme park there, there is no new really anything there, it's people getting fed up with Disney and saying, you know what, let me check them out. And I think Universal has been doing a very good job of saying to those people, welcome, come on in.
This time of year in particular is an excellent example of this, in that, you know, Disney Very Merriest After Hours is selling out like more and more every single day. But that price range on those tickets went from $169 to $250.
It's crazy.
Just to go into Magic Kingdom for 4 hours, you know, after the park closed, 2 hours during park hours, see a shortened version of Once Upon a Christmas Time, the holiday fireworks, and the stage show, and then get packaged snickerdoodles, which were delicious. But still, nonetheless, very different from what you got before for less money with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And meanwhile, even though it's different entertainment, with Disney, I think a lot of people have a nostalgia that goes together with Christmas and the watching the Christmas Day Parade and such. But down the road at Universal, you have holiday entertainment at Islands of Adventure with Grinchmas, and then at over in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You have it back at Universal Studios Florida as well, in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, plus the holiday parade with Macy's. And all of that is
it's great
right
too.
In your park admission. No extra money to experience their holiday entertainment. It just happens every single day. But meanwhile, down the road, you know, you might be shelling out over $200. But I also get it, too, because, you know, I love Disney World at Christmas time, especially Magic Kingdom. So I see both sides of it. But for those who feel a little bit burned out but still want that holiday entertainment in the parks, maybe consider it. I don't know.
It's I think more and I'm hearing it from more and more of my friends. That, yeah, you know, we did a split stay. Mm-hmm. You know, the split stay is becoming a thing. And it's, I don't really want to part with Disney, but I'm not happy. And let me go see what's over here. And more, the feedback, the feedback I'm getting from people, and this is anecdotal, is, wow, I had no idea. There was that much there at Universal.
Yeah, I had a friend that just got back, and she's a client. She normally stays on Disney property, but she went with Universal this time for several reasons, and they had a great time.
I think Universal listens a lot more. Like they're in our chat all the time. They commented on the jacket I was wearing last week because it was a Halloween
on this
Hornet
show.
Yeah, they could be watching right now. For all I know, they'll make a comment, that to me says that they are in tune with audiences, that they are listening to people, and you know. And then Disney has this conference call.
I had no idea.
Yeah, this lady is like very blatant about just being like, you're going to pay the same amount of money for less product. Like, and I don't, and there's just no sense of like
this
compassion or anything.
Tone,
you know?
Deaf. It's yeah. Completely tone deaf.
It is.
Like, and people will be happy about it.
We were just away and I talk to a lot of people and they ask what you do and you tell them what you do. And I also think that we're in a bubble. I think we're a bubble. I think the people who listen to us are a bubble. I think there's a vast number of people out there who have no idea that our influencing exists. Mm-hmm. I think there are people who look, I talked to a husband and wife who were going to Disney and they're thinking of going for Christmas this year. I said, well, have you made any plans? They're like, no, we'll just drive down and get a hotel. So I think there's a lot of people who don't know that things have.
And now,
let me just finish.
I'm sorry.
I think that I've told this story so many times that it's become old hat. When I was a pin trader and we would start to complain, I had an executive tell me one day, you know, you guys are this big. You don't. He didn't come out and say you don't really matter, but you don't really matter because there's a billion other people who come to the parks who have no idea that you're coming here for a couple hours a week and buying those pins anyway. And I think that equates to this.
The only difference is that those people, that family who's going to hop in the car, drive to Orlando, and they're going to get a room, don't realize you have to download an app, you have to make a reservation to get in the park. They certainly don't realize what that's going to cost them. For example, I was just doing some research for something else I'm working on. I was on the Disney Travel Agents website, and I put in dates for a couple weeks from now. A room at the All-Stars was $500 a night.
Good Lord.
And this wasn't Thanksgiving weekend I was looking at. It was next week. $500 a night. Now, they yield prices based on, you know, occupancy. Is there any world whatsoever where a room at the All-Stars is worth $500 a night?
I don't think any room is worth $500 a night.
Well, okay, I'm not going to go that far.
If you're that person and you're driving to Disney and you haven't done any of that, well, sure, I'll, you know.
And you pay that and you stay in that room and you realize these 3 days just, you know, came with a mortgage application. You're never coming back. You're never coming back.
But maybe they never planned to. It might be a one-off.
But those people, then they become influencers because they're going to go back to their friends and their family.
Don't
and they'll say,
Disney,
oh, my
Disney
God,
stinks.
Don't
it's
even
expensive.
Bother. Are you kidding? What they're charging? What, forget it. That's what's going to start happening. Now they have said offline that they're aware that this is going to turn people off, and that's what they're going for because it's the only way they can address the issue they have with crowds. I think what they haven't figured out yet is that because people have money doesn't mean they're stupid and doesn't mean they're not going to realize how grossly overpriced the experience is and how grossly under-delivered the experience is. And then these people become influencers. And so is this, like I said, is this going to happen a month from now or a year from now? Probably not. But it is. Is that me? It is me, sorry.
No. You might be in chat.
Hey, Al.
It's our Universal rep giving us a call.
Our Universal rep is literally ringing my phone.
Well, I think also I want to jump in and say, too, about Universal, there's always a promotion. Like, no matter when it is, they always have some promotion. They have their base promotion. I'm not going to mention it because I don't know the details. But it's always like four, buy five, get four, pay four, or something like that.
Buy five, get four?
Yeah.
That's something a great like promotion.
What a great deal.
It's very, it's wow, very complicated.
I'm on that one.
Pay for five of these. That's a Disney promotion. Pay for five of these, and we're only going to give you four.
This involves math and stuff. Like, you know. So they're always running a promotion.
Says the guy with a degree in chemistry.
They're always doing stuff. I have a proposal. I think one of the ways people can send a message across is to make a small change in the way they travel that could influence Disney and give them a message. Let's say we had no Disney Dine Tuesday. Whenever you travel, don't eat at Disney on a Tuesday.
That's interesting.
That's so, my day I eat, though.
That's the only day you're allowed to eat?
All right. After one day.
I also think...
Well, let me finish. I want to talk about my great idea.
That wasn't it?
That was it. It was okay, huge. Go ahead. So I think if you do this sort of thing where... We consciously, as a group of Disney fans who are traveling, say, guess what? This is the one thing we're going to do. We're just going to send the message to Disney. We're not going to eat on Disney property or at a Disney resort or Disney restaurant one day a week. Then guess what? If they start to notice that things are empty that day, then maybe they will take notice that, listen, our policies have consequences. And the consequence of going on an earnings call and saying, listen, flat out, tone deaf, less food, more money is the wrong approach to things. So,
and then throwing a fat shaming elbow in the process.
I think this is all great talk, but none of us gave up our annual passes.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
And I got one more thing to say. The influencers that you see on the internet, while they might be bitching, they're not giving up. They're not stopping because they have an audience.
I was debating whether or not I was going to say this. My annual pass comes up for renewal in a few months, and I'm seriously considering for the first time in 25 years not holding an annual pass to Disney.
Again, I don't think it's got to be that big of a move. I think if we show mass support in a way that, you know, because again, you talk about, yeah, we still like to have our annual pass, but when was the last time we actually ate in a Disney restaurant?
Well, look what happened with Gay Days. Gay people organized. They stamped their money, gay money. And all of a sudden, we have Gay Days at Disney.
I'm stamping my money, fat money.
That's what we should do. That's what we should do.
I mean, voices can be heard, but you have to be organized about it.
Right. And you know, I'm not ready to corral the villagers.
From the village?
I'm not, you know... But I'm serious because when I've just got to be honest. When I think about going to a Disney theme park, I get anxiety. I'm like, no. Now I'll head over to, you know, a resort to go eat because I love the restaurants. I do. I love the restaurants. You know, I've been at Steakhouse 71. I'm there once a week right now. I absolutely love the restaurant. And I'll continue to do that. But I don't. I don't know if an annual pass is worth it for me.
I don't, you know, the system's even more messed up in California right now because they sold out that magic, that top tier pass, and then that was the only pass that included parking. So magically, it's sold out now. But also, there are no reservations for the entire month of December.
We have a friend named Peter,
yeah,
and he keeps posting pictures. He said, "I spent $1,400 on a pass,
yeah,
and I can't
use it."
And that's insane to me. That is like, especially when you're essentially buying that pass, saying it's for to be able to have the ability to not have those blockout dates. And I get what they're doing. I get why they're doing it, I guess.
But. All of these things. In the past, as I mentioned, it would be one thing. And and then everything would calm down. But not now. This is different. This is different. And I haven't decided whether or not I'm going to renew my annual pass. I may very well end up doing it, but I also may end up not.
I just renewed mine.
I think the hard part, though, is that it's hard to qualify us in that area because you know, the business is built around this. So you really do need it.
Yeah. I mean, for you guys,
yeah.
For you guys, you need to be in the plus.
Yeah.
I don't,
but I think
I don't. And yeah. I think, you know, as I sit here and tell people, if you're going to bitch about it, then don't buy it. And I think I'm going to take my own advice. That if personally I don't feel that the experience is worth what they're charging, then I shouldn't buy it. And I may not. I've been and again for the last week I've been thinking about this. So I'm not saying I'm not going to renew, but I'll be very transparent about it if I do or if I don't. Because I think it's coming up.
You might end up spending less than just buying day tickets at that point, too, because the pass isn't twice as much money as it was before.
Yeah.
With less benefit, you know.
It's I have to look and see when it expires. but I know
don't
it's coming
worry,
up.
They'll tell you. They'll send you emails.
They may not.
They don't may be like, scratch we don't, him off yeah. the list.
But this is what I never imagined I'd be in a place where I'd be having a serious conversation or serious thought about not renewing my annual pass. Look what the hell I do for a living.
17 days.
And I'm going to tell you, if you're losing me, and again, I mean, I have a business that sells Disney vacations, right? This conversation is not very good for business, but we've always tried with these shows to be honest with what we feel, irrespective of that. And I always said, I'll never tell people don't go to Disney. I'll say, when you go to Disney, stay here, don't stay here, eat here, don't eat here. But it's getting to the point where I'm about to start saying, don't go to Disney. Go to Universal. You want to come to Orlando? There's so much going on here. There's so much great stuff that, and I honestly, I think for value and experience and service, go to Universal. Go to Universal. They still value people. They still value your business. Disney has made it clear. Disney has made it clear repeatedly. Now, the old adage, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And Disney's telling us who they are. And that comment from that woman on that earnings call, they're telling us who they are. And the fact that nothing, when it's getting that kind of traction on so many major national, we're not talking about the Diz here. I'm talking about the New York Times, for God's sakes. When it's getting traction in places like that, and you don't say anything?
I don't know that it's having a lot of effect.
That's what I said.
Try and get a reservation at Topolino for breakfast.
Right.
So I don't think it's hurting them. Because once you sell out, it doesn't matter who you sell out to.
And again, if you're looking at it, if you're looking at it in the short term, you're absolutely right. What I'm saying is that I think if this goes unabated 2 or 3 years from now, it's going to be a different story.
Or we're going to be having the same conversation about some other horrific thing that we think has happened.
Yeah. No,
remember
absolutely.
When Harry Potter was going to take all of the business away from Disney?
It took a lot.
But Disney's still full. So what I'm saying is, while they might not get this sphere of influencers and people who listen to our show, there are other people to take your place. You know.
Well, I also think, too, we're talking about a greater issue, too, with an economy in the whole. And it's going to be a matter of people are going to sit down and say, what can they afford? You know, going forward, can they afford going to Disney? And at some point, it might be a no from the person.
I think that's a no already for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think more and more people are getting to the point of no because of they have to decide, am I going to buy gas or food or am I going to go
right.
to Disney?
Right. And the policies, the pricing policies are absolutely designed to get those people to say no so there are less people in the parks. The part that they're missing, as I said, just because people can afford it doesn't mean they're stupid and doesn't mean they'll take this week-long family vacation at Disney World and spend an extraordinary amount of money and not look at it and say, "Ah, you know what? I could have done Hawaii."
Take a cruise.
Or take a cruise. You know, honestly, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on the show. Used to be that the cruise was more expensive than the Disney vacation. I don't think that's the case anymore. You want a relaxing vacation full of that great Disney service we used to love back in the day? Great Disney entertainment, fantastic food.
As big a portion size as you want.
And they're not going to cut your portion sizes because your waistline needs work. And then, take that money and spend it on Cruise Line. Take that money and spend it on Universal.
I've been chubby my entire life, and I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't take that in a bad way.
See, I didn't either.
To me, it was more – Was it tone deaf? Yeah, I've said tone deaf stuff in my life. And whether she apologizes or not, I didn't take it as that.
But you know why? Go ahead.
I know why?
Because I think that what's happened is, I'm going to get to a weird place. I think that fat people are the last vestige of who we can make fun of. You can't make fun of anybody else. Everything's off the table. But if you're fat, I can tell a joke about you.
You only say it if you're in that position too. You know? Not that you're fat.
Fat joke. You can't. You know?
I pick who I can crack it with, you know, because, you know, I mean, I'm.
Be
careful.
She just edited herself.
I'm supposed to edit myself.
There's a word that I hope people don't use anymore, but if Rhino said it to me, I wouldn't be offended.
Oh, no. Somebody called me in my parking lot, so you're fine.
That's different.
It's the word I'm thinking about.
That's different. Right. But if you said it to me or I said it to you,
but that's true.
Yeah.
Either one of us
would be wildly
offended.
Right.
I don't know what this lady looks like.
Oh, I do. I looked it up.
But you don't know,
skinny white lady.
But maybe she was a fat chubby earlier. You know, you don't know. You don't know where someone's coming from.
I
don't want to go down that particular rabbit hole. What she looks like, but it for me, it wasn't so much the comment. It was the callousness, of the fact that there were people, whether we were offended or not, there are many people who were. And vocalize that, and a decent human being, let alone a company that values its guests and its fans, its highest affinity group, would say, "Hey, listen, sorry, we didn't mean it. You know, wasn't meant like that. We apologize."
And they just added diversity to one of their
keys. Exactly.
But you know, she might not even know this. We just went to a thing where there were people who don't read the internet.
Well,
I just talked to people at a meeting.
This is not just the internet. This is the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, major NBC News.
Maybe she can't read.
And she's surrounded by
– She's in a bubble or a blister maybe.
I I would say if at this point this woman doesn't know about it, she needs to fire her staff and get new ones.
Do you think it was a
at that
a
level?
Comment?
She is at that level. She is surrounded. First of all, Disney PR at the corporate level is aware of every news story that's out there. So someone would have brought this to her, and if they didn't, somebody's not doing their job.
Do you think
she's
it was
just a cold bitch?
Was it a? Oh. Well, that's possible.
There we go.
Was it a off the cuff comment or was it a written comment? That
she was asked the question, comment. So it was off the cuff. She was answering a question, so that's it's truly how she feels, right?
True,
because it's what came out of her.
All the time that isn't truly how you feel.
Oh, please. You ever had a conversation with him on the phone?
I sit next to him.
Holy shit. Oh, holy crap.
I don't know how this all became about me.
I sit right next to him. You know when I talk to? Because we're this
well,
far
again,
apart.
Well, again, my issue wasn't necessarily with the comment. It is with the overwhelming evidence that we are getting with every single thing that happens, with every decision that comes down, that we are not valued. We are not valued by Disney. And I'm sorry. I think, all change comes with acceptance. And that is just a fact. That is just a fact. Now, will they pay lip service to that? Oh, we love our fans. Of course they will. Until it starts showing up in actions, it's hollow. That is my problem.
My issue is they're going to take food away, and the portions weren't in comparison to the price already. You were already paying too much for whatever it was, $5.99 for a cookie.
My problem is, why did she say it?
Yeah.
Why would she say it? Just do it.
Exactly. All they had to do is do it. Or all they had to say in a different way is, you know what? Not even getting into that, because it doesn't matter if you're fat, skinny, whatever. Anything about your body anymore should not be brought up. That is, I think body shaming in general
even
is
red hair.
Past. Oh, you're fine to bring up redhead stuff, though. Good. That's always on the table. But in general, they could have said this was all about food waste. They could just say, we are getting rid of more and more food and throwing away more food than we as a company care to, considering we want to think about the future of the world. And they could have taken it from that route. She said something dumb, but I'm also not going to sit here and judge her for it, because I say a lot of dumb things regret.
I just read an article that broke down what smaller portions would do for the company. And it would mean less food service workers. It would mean less raw product. It would mean less waste, as what Craig said. There's a whole thing that goes down the list from that. The fact that she chose your waistline, I think he's right. I think it's tone deaf, but I don't think it was. I don't see it as.
And I'm sorry, they're selling these giant cupcakes. And giant cookies and all of this, then they open bakeries and stuff. You're not concerned about
that. But that's because
waste.
They can sell a 50-cent cupcake for $9.
Does anyone in the room disagree with me that the message that has been sent, especially over the last 2 years, is that fans don't really matter?
Well, I think it's even more than that. I think it's
I just want to know if anybody disagrees with that.
No, I mean, every time something comes up, we have this conversation. We say that. We say that they're tone deaf and they press the fans.
That's really where I'm coming from with this. It's another example of not just the callousness of we're going to increase prices and deliver less food, and not just the callousness of, oh, and it's good for people's waistlines. It's this just constant drumbeat. They are not only trying to lower the crowds by raising the prices, they are trying to lower the crowds by giving the middle finger to their fans.
I don't disagree with you, but it won't stop me from going.
That is a perfectly legitimate place. That is a perfectly legitimate. I don't want to suggest for a second that I'm saying anyone who feels that way is wrong. I don't feel that is perfectly legitimate. I'm talking only for myself, that it is leading me to a place where I don't want to go, where I don't want to go into the parks.
I like high-priced leather goods. I've told this story a thousand times. There are the companies that I like to do business with that are raising prices three times a year for the same product. To the point where now you're pricing me out. Doesn't mean I stopped liking them. Doesn't mean I stopped buying them. It means I buy less. And I think that's kind of what this is. If they're doing away with people who see this as a negative and don't want to go, I think it's the same thought process. There'll be somebody else there to take the place.
And for me, the reasons I'm a fan of this product, of Disney, are less and less evident in the parks. But they are very much alive and well on Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris. They're alive and well there.
I don't have to go to Disney World or Disneyland to get my Disney fix, right?
You have Disney Plus.
I have Disney. I can get it, but I would like the parks because of the nostalgia and the way it makes me feel when I'm there. But because of the pricing, I now can go less.
But you also are in a different breed. You have saturated your life with Disney. You work for Dreams Unlimited Travel. You deal with Disney every day. There is an emotion for people who are not saturated and live 20 miles from the park.
I think what's happening right now, which is happening kind of everywhere right now too, is that it's this other thing where it's like we've already said, tone deaf. It's these rich people. Somebody said that this woman made like $10 million last year or something like that, and that's her job, whatever. It's rich people telling people who have less than them that what they're getting is more than enough and continuing to do that. And that is happening across the board, outside of Disney World, throughout society, everywhere we are right now. We've seen the labor shortage that's happening right now. And it is now creating an environment that makes me feel like when I go there, I'm less than other people that go there because I'm not the premium diamond select. It's making – because I do feel like internally they don't care about the parks. Chapek or whoever's in charge of the stuff – that is the not the main priority right now. It's Disney Plus. It's this other stuff. So they really don't care about the theme parks, and they don't care about the people that go to the theme parks. So that's why the cut comes there. They need that money for Disney Plus.
If that's the way you feel going into a park, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't go places that make you feel bad.
That's exactly my point, and it's exactly why I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's why I don't go.
I do also want to say, too, I know because we like really propped up Universal on a pillow earlier, especially in terms of this conversation about waistlines and stuff. But Universal has gotten flack for years and years and years because in their effort to design new rides, sometimes groundbreaking, something like Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, they size people out. And that was the worst part of my time that I had to work at that attraction. Mm-hmm. When you have even as simple as someone who's in great shape, who's a bodybuilder, who is massive in the chest and arms, that should be able to get on everything. And
you got a little gay there for a minute.
Really?
Well, I'm just saying, no, it's in terms of the different body sizes. You can't even like with Universal with their rides. Some people would be like, oh, no, I'm in great shape. I'm going to be able to fit on everything. That doesn't matter. Yeah. If you have thick legs, there are some ride restraints that can't come down. If you have extra long legs, you can't. So Universal's also, while not in a corporate way of someone flat out saying something like you need to watch your waistlines, but Universal has been doing some not great things over the years with that, too. And the community hopes that it doesn't go on forever and that they do keep other people of different body sizes in mind. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people to blame.
Nothing is ever going to be all inclusive. I can't go out and buy a Cooper Mini or a Mini Cooper.
Right.
I just can't.
Sure.
I don't think Mini Cooper
that's not necessarily. I think what we're talking about with Disney right now. I'm not talking about them, you know, creating rides that heavier people can't fit on. I'm talking about this general overarching message, whether it is intentional or not, whether it is tone deaf or not, that people are getting, fans are getting, that we don't matter. Yep. And I don't want to lose sight of that. And again, I want to be very clear that all opinions are right. All opinions are right. If you don't feel this way, you don't feel that way, you're right. And if I feel this way, I'm right too.
Can I go back to something Rhino said? I think
you're less right.
I'm a little less right. It's always the truth. Something Rhino said that got me thinking about something that I didn't realize. I think part of what insulted me about her comment was she was going to make this decision for other people. Or the way it was positioned, that she's making this decision for other people. And I'm going to tell you, we can afford to go to Disney. We can afford to eat wherever we want. We can go to a restaurant that doesn't serve enough food and they get McDonald's on the way home if we want. But the fact that they're making this decision blatantly and saying, listen, I'm going to decide this for you. We're going to give you less.
But you see, if the reasoning behind it was in fact people's waistlines.
No, I don't believe it was.
Of course it wasn't. But it was gaslighting. It was gaslighting. Take away from the fact we're going to cut portion sizes and raise prices.
Don't you remember they tried that whole healthy thing with kids' meals earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to have
carrots.
Whole wheat buns, ooh, and we're going to give you carrots, and nobody bought it, and they complained.
You can still ask for it if you want.
I know. Who does? I don't find Disney restaurants to be a value to me. And I live here. I don't go to Disney restaurants unless it's a special occasion and I'm going to be in the park at a mealtime. I don't make a point of going to a Disney restaurant because I think there are better values and better food, to be perfectly honest with you, available elsewhere without a hassle of trying to get a reservation or knowing 6 hours in advance that you might want a hot dog at 2 o'clock. I find that right there, you have turned me off. So what I do is I go to the park when I want. And if I am going to think I'm going to be hungry, I make a dining reservation. But it's not a destination for dining to me.
See, and for me it is. For me it is.
Both right.
Exactly. No, that's exactly
he's right.
Less right. No,
he's less, John's less right.
I'm less right.
That I find a lot of the restaurants, especially at Disney Springs, and in some of the resorts, I find them to be exceptional. I find them to be very, very good. Now, I live right outside downtown Orlando. There's a ton of restaurants. I can't tell you how disappointed I've been in a lot of the. I was just in one the other night. I'm not going to mention it because it doesn't matter, but this is one of the trendy places in downtown Orlando.
No, I want
to know. Rustic.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I thought I was underwhelmed. Everybody's like, "Oh my god, it's amazing!" I'm glad I'm not doing a review because I mean it wasn't bad, but it, like, I get better,
yeah,
on property. I really do. And I don't know. I like what I like, and I have no problem going. I'll tell you the restaurants I like, generally speaking, aren't in the theme parks. They're at Disney Springs. They're at the resorts.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I go to. Those are the ones I go to. I'm, you know, having dinner with somebody tonight over a Wine Bar George. Phenomenal. Phenomenal restaurant. Having dinner or lunch or breakfast, I forgot, tomorrow at Kona Cafe. Last night I was over at Steakhouse 71. Dang. I love the restaurants over there.
You can't afford an annual pass.
I love them. Hold on, let me finish saying what I'm saying. I love these places. I love the quality of the food I'm getting. I love the quality of the service I'm getting. And I find the price okay. Is it expensive compared to other places? Yeah, but we're in a resort. We're in a resort. When I'm in New York, I know I'm not going to pay the same. I'm going to pay more for that restaurant than I'm going to pay if I'm in Reading, Pennsylvania. That, and I just get that. So I factor that into my decision. That does that mean that I think every restaurant in New York is, you know, it's okay to charge what they charge and their food is great? No. If the food's not good, I don't care what the price is.
Have you been to Reading?
I was wondering the same thing, Kevin.
He focuses on the wrong thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's playing Monopoly.
So Well, I want to wrap this up because we're almost at the top of the
hour. I want to say something real quick, though. Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to what Craig said, I couldn't remember his name, about the rides and the and all, you mm-hmm. know? Here's the ride I want. I want Disney to do a Wally ride, Wally recliner ride.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
No, and we'll call it It's a Fat World?
It's a Fat World. Everybody would fit, right?
I'm so insulted.
Are you?
No.
Because I'm right there with
you. What was the name of the organization?
By and Large.
By and Large, is that it? Yeah.
I'm going to take my smaller meal on the ride with
me. Right?
Yeah. So.
Before we go, can I sell something?
Go ahead.
I know that we've been saying don't go to Disney, so I'm going to try to sell something to you now. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of information. I'm worried that some of the things are getting pushed aside. I want to remind folks that we have a Diz Unplugged podcast cruise in 2022. It is May 16th.
Four-night dream.
Correct. On the Disney Dream.
Can you tell Teresa books
this? Teresa books
it. I'm booking them. That's right.
We have locked in pricing, but we don't have guaranteed availability. So you're going to want to try to make your decision soon and book with us. Normal Disney policies apply, so your deposits are refundable. So please, please, please contact us. You can contact me, John, at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, or go to our site and request a quote. And just, I want to say this in advance, because probably in the next month or two, we're going to start talking about what we're doing on the cruise, and then people are going to go, well, I wish I knew that, because I was going to book. So book now, and if you don't like what we're doing, you can cancel later.
Up until Valentine's Day.
Excellent. So May 16th, four-night Disney Dream, podcast cruise.
All right. And for those of you who are supporters, I should mention this at the top of the show, our Patreon supporters will be doing our after show. If you'd like to become a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/disunplugged. It's where you can sign up. And what?
Can I also do a little housekeeping?
No.
Sure. Let's. Yeah.
Sorry, it was just we are doing an episode of Connecting with Walt where we are celebrating Christmas memories inside Disney parks, and we're asking for submissions for that. So if you want to email like a story that you have with your family visiting Disney at Christmas, craig@disneyinfo.com. If you feel comfortable recording audio for it, you can as well too, and we'll actually play you saying it, so you don't have to hear me sound monotonous as I'm trying to tell your heartwarming story. So again, craig@disneyinfo.com, and it will be on our holiday episode of Connecting with Walt.
All right. And with that, folks, that is going to do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, everybody. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.